we'll start with looking at the first 8 verses and then see what unfolds from there. Would you like to read?
Sure. Now it happened on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests and the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him and spoke to him, saying, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Or who is he who gave you this authority?" But he answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, and answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we said from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet." So they answered that they did not know where he was from. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things."
Okay, anything there? All right. I'll try to be serious. So I wanted to take the time to consider the question that the Pharisees asked Jesus and his response. And then I'd like to consider what that response means for you and me today. So we're going to have to look at authority. And because these scribes, to get us back into, remember, Jesus had just came and entered into the city and entered into the temple when they were selling, profiting on other people's worship. And he came and overturned the tables and said, "This is my Father's house and it should be a house of prayer," and you have made it into a den of thieves. And as he's teaching in another time, he's continuing. Notice it hasn't changed what he's teaching. He's teaching the people and preaching the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God, and the offer of life that he came to give us. And they confronted him. Now, I know this might sound a little weird, but technically, in theory, this is called prayer. When you come and talk to Jesus and he responds, that's prayer. So they had a physical ability to come right up to Jesus and confront him. But I just want you to consider, because he does sometimes, when we come to him in prayer, he asks us questions. He wants us to answer. And when we come to him and ask for a question, he said, "Well, I'm going to ask you a question." So there's times that these things happen and things that are taking place. And I think last week when you and Kim were sharing, it's like, I don't know why Jesus said what he shared, but I think it was kind of neat because it's kind of cool because the Word tells us why Jesus shares the things he shares all the time. And so when we look at the authority that Jesus came in, and that is, I always do the things that please the Father. I only say the things that the Father speaks. And so when Jesus is coming and teaching and things like that, the authority that he has are the things that are from the heart, and it's the will of God the Father. So that's important to realize, that the heart behind the whole thing is love. That when Jesus speaks and he's responding to these gentlemen, it's in love, with a heart to bring about repentance, but yet face them with the truth and reality. And when I say that, when we ask these questions, why does Jesus say this? I think a lot of times we have to come to that place and come back to the things we know. That Jesus came with the heart and will of God the Father, in submission to him in all things, and that's the desire. We have to start there so that we can grow from there, that it's his authority that he's walking in, that he's been given and granted to by the Father to walk in. So I wanted to go through some, well, first, the word authority, when we consider these things, it's in the Greek, it's exousia. And I wanted to read this because you can tell me what you understand of it when you read it. In the sense of ability, privilege, that is subjectively force, capacity, competency, freedom, or objective majesty. Concretely, magistrate, so superhuman, potentate, token of control, delegated influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, and strength. Does that make any sense? It's a lot. But when they're coming and saying, what authority do you have? They're saying, who gives you the right to do these things? Come in here and turn over our worship or our money making, whatever that might be. What gives you the right? What gives you the freedom? What gives you the influence? What gives you the jurisdiction and liberty and power and right and strength to say these things to me? That's what these men, these Pharisees, were doing. Now, Pharisees were those who were believing, trying to hold on to the law and trying to dictate to those others how to live the law inside and show these things. And so I wanted to go back and look at a few things where Jesus has told us from the beginning where he got his authority from. And I know you guys know this, but it's important because when we come before him and we ask him to speak through our hearts, we need to come back and say the same thing and come to a place where we come and answer where these things are coming from. So in John 7:16-17, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it's from God or whether I speak with my own authority. So this is early in his ministry as he's going through sharing, and then as we get into John 8:28-29, he said, he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. And so he's been teaching his disciples and all those around. These are in public, open settings when he's teaching. John 10:37-38, Jesus said, if I do not do the works of my Father, don't believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know them and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. He said he was teaching them again, here, I'm doing the things the Father is showing me. And this right here, John 12:49-50, is the same in that same week that we're talking about in Luke 20. So it's getting closer. John 12:49-50. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, I speak. So, in that time in Luke, when the Pharisees came to him, he might not have answered them completely, but he has told them in the past. He's made it known to the disciples and anyone following him and anyone that came and asked him. Most of these are responses to the questions that they asked him about his authority in the beginning. So these same people are still asking. And then during the Last Supper that he comes to and talks to when he's talking to his disciples, John 14:10-11 says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sakes of the works themselves. Or else believe me for the sakes of the works themselves. So Jesus basically got to the point where he was telling everybody as he's walking through, if you don't believe my words, look at my life. And my life is going to show you where my authority comes from, who's doing the work, and who I'm trusting and relying on. He also knows that it's more about the life lived more than the words spoken for us. So the Pharisees back in Luke, they come to him and say, well, we have a question. And Jesus comes and says, I have a question. The baptism of John, is it from heaven or from men? It's not, I mean, that's like today I'll say it. the life we have, is it in Christ or can we do it on our own? Right? Is it a heavenly work or is it an earthly, fleshly work? That's what Jesus came and said to him. Is this a work of the Father? Or am I doing this on my own? You see, he knew where his authority came from. But he doesn't, I don't think, answer him here right now, because ultimately, his authority, when he's coming and speaking to us or to the Pharisee, comes down to an individual choice. Will I accept his authority? Will I come to a place that I understand that his authority is coming from the Father, and the things he's doing, the things he's saying, are for me today with the heart of love, teaching the gospel, spreading and preaching. That's his desire. But it's personal. We're going to look. If when you start looking at, if we get to verses 9 through 18, you're going to see, it's basically about an individual choice when he's talking to the Pharisees and things. And we're actually going to look at Matthew, because there's a little part before he goes into this in Matthew we want to talk about. So as we consider authority, we have to ask, Jesus comes to us and says, my Father has sent me. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? And those who believe in me will have everlasting life. Do we, in and of our hearts, really hold true, and I'm preaching to a choir. I understand that in many ways, but we all are willing to learn and grow. I think that he is drawing from the Father, knowing because of a relationship with him what he wants to speak. But these, what we find is in verse 8 that they said, Jesus comes back to the Pharisees and says, because you won't tell me what authority you think I'm doing these things, I can't tell, I'm not going to tell you either. Why do you think John puts it heavenly or earthly? If you can't tell me that, I can't tell you. And Proverbs, 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord shall be saved. And this is where the Pharisees are. They're at a place where they're afraid. Well, we already know that they didn't believe he was from heaven, because they were more worried about what the people were going to do to him. Right? Because all they had to do is say, we believe your ministry is from heaven, if they really felt it. And the other part wouldn't even have been in their thought process. So these guys are sitting there like, if we got to explain why we didn't repent if we believe it's from heaven, and then we got to worry about what the people have to say if we don't. Quite honestly, in a lot of the decisions as we're serving and walking with the Lord and surrendering our lives and dealing with the same thing, we fall under those same guidelines. A lot of times we're afraid of what man is thinking, and we just are worried about what man's going to do rather than trusting, like it says, whoever trusts in the Lord will be saved. And so I know that, I'm just going to ask you, do you want to talk about authority or keep moving? Honestly, I don't really care, because I think they're both from the Lord.
Well, for starters, they're not genuine. They want to entrap him to kill him. And so
right.
I wouldn't call that prayer. They don't think he's the Messiah. You can call that, but anyway, they're not being genuine prophets. They want to entrap him, and he sort of like checkmate. He's like, turns it around, and then
from here on out, it's always been. He shuts their mouths. He shuts their mouths.
But he's doing that in front of everyone.
But all the people there also have an opportunity to hear and respond as well, so that they have Well, it's an individual choice. We have to come to a place, do I really believe that the things that Jesus said and promised and offered are with authority and the ability and power to do them and accomplish them? Because when we get into this, to the parable of the vine dresser turning over a lamp, the reason why I want to hold off on today is because I don't know if actually, if you think about it, he started off doing that with Adam, a land that was developed and perfectly made, and he put him in there to tend it. He did it with the children of Israel. He does it with us. And so there's a lot to the tending and questions about the vine dresser and that part. So I don't know how you guys wanted to deal with that. I'm open for it. Yes?
I think there's what you touched on. First of all, I think when you think about the question about whether John's ministry was from man or from father, I think the question there is do you believe in the Messiah and in John's message? Because John's message
right.
is what?
Behold.
Jesus, the Messiah, is coming.
Right. Behold the Lamb of God. Right? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so I think so the first thing is he's really asking, are you able to receive this revelation? And then the next part of that, that's why he says, well, if you can't receive that revelation that was already demonstrated in John, then you can't, then I'm going to tell you what mine is, my authority is, and it's the same place, same revelation. The other thing is, I think, on the surface, humanly speaking, all the rabbis of the day had to have their authority by the teacher that taught them. Mm-hmm. They don't know who taught them. They're trying to wrap it up.
Yeah, they already know he didn't go to school.
There's the human part of it, there's the spiritual part of it, and obviously there's the reality of that God gave not only the authority and the ability to John, but it's also given the authority and the ability to Jesus. And so I think there's a ton there. I don't think it's so much about authority as it is their ability to believe in the revelation of Christ through John and through Jesus. That's kind of what it is. That's what it's
doing. Okay. But they were wondering why or where he thinks he has the right to do these things. Right? To.
Yeah, I think the question's a little, I think they may be saying it that way, but I think it's really they're not believing, they can't believe, they're not believing in the Messiah. I mean, the sides
have
come in any of the ways that they thought.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, we would all probably been, like, when we read this, I could sit there and say, I'd have been lucky to be a Pharisee at that time, because they were studied people. So, but everybody was coming, and they came against him. They end up saying, Hosanna, 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 and then 7 days later, crucified. So, or 5 days, 4 days later. So, we have these clips and we have to go back and forth, but I do. That's like that.
I don't think they wanted to legitimize his ministry, and which is why they didn't give him an answer.
I think when I look at it, I see the fear of man that holds them back from really saying, answering, and responding the way they should. Like, they were afraid to get killed, they were afraid to. Be crucified or stoned, I'm sorry. So Jesus is just saying, look, you guys have to come to the conclusion. That's ultimately what you have to deal with. Like, they came to confront, to argue. They came to catch him in his words later. There's all these different things. They were trying to catch Jesus and find a reason why not to believe him. Yes?
I'm just thinking, thanks. The scribes and Pharisees and these people, these elders, chief priests, they knew that Jesus was speaking with authority. They knew that the people were holding, that they were captivated by his words. He knew scripture, whether he was taught him. So they had to know that, or sense, or whatever, that Jesus was was the Messiah, they knew there was something astonishing about him. They, you know, he was a son of a carpenter. He knew scripture, and he preached even in a synagogue when he was 12, right?
Right.
I mean, they knew that he could, that he knew God's word. So I do think that they were trying to trap him for sure.
Yeah.
And they wanted to get rid of him because they didn't want the people following Jesus.
Well, they saw that he was taking their authority.
Yeah, right.
They were losing their authority because of who he was, or because of what he was saying.
Right, and when Jesus enters into all of our world, we have to lose that authority too and surrender and understand that he has the authority. And well, since he came and died and rose again, he's been given all authority. And that we can surrender and trust and just rest in that authority. Why? Because he tells us to come and he'll give us rest. Come. And I'll give you peace. I am your peace, as it says. He is our peace. It's a person. He says, come to me, I'll give you rest. Why? Because I'm coming to the Prince of Peace. And he wants to give me rest. But I need to be settled in all the things. And the cool thing is, I like how when Jesus said this too, because do you remember what Paul said about the Bereans? That they received everyone with all readiness, but then studied the word to see if it was true. That's what's kind of cool here too. Jesus said, was John sent from heaven or on his own? See, they had an opportunity to receive it with all readiness and study to see if it was true or reject it. And so that's the same with every person that stands up here when they share. It's awesome. Because I believe when we all come up here, well, when everyone's just coming up here, that the Lord's within them and then they're sharing with their heart and as the Lord's moving, I think it's awesome. And we have the ability to receive when people were sharing. Not one person has all authority except Jesus. And so it's cool that the different hearts and messages that come are sweet because you see the work that the Lord's doing in each person's heart. And not everything I say is right. I'm pretty sure. Or it might come out wrong. Or at least, but in the understanding that I have, my desire is to bring forth what I think the authority of God's word is. Yes?
I think it's cool that the reason why Jesus brought up John the Baptist is because John was proclaiming, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Israel was waiting for that Savior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so through Scripture they were waiting for that time when the Messiah would come. But it says here in verse 1 there that, he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel. So he repeated what John proclaimed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now the good news is that there's a Savior that's going to take away your sins.
Right. And they asked John the Baptist the same question.
Right.
Are you he? No.
But the people were persuaded that John was a prophet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the Pharisees loved the prophet.
Well, they killed them all.
Well, they did, but they
loved him so much that they killed him with their love.
They loved him after they killed him.
Yeah.
Because that's what they were, they were clinging to the prophecies and the
They were clinging to the promises of God that they liked to see. Some of the things that we become guilty of ourselves, that we start holding on to the things that we like in the Word and questioning the authority of the other things sometimes. At least I do. Like, did you really mean to say that? Or am I supposed to do that? Or feeling led? I think sometimes we question his authority.
I was going to say, I don't think God compares us to the Pharisees, and I don't think we should either. I think it's remarkable that Jesus, his whole ministry was in the presence of his enemy all the time, and all of the prophets, and all of John, and all of them, you know, starting from Garden of Eden, right there, and there's a serpent. It's just amazing because it doesn't hinder what he's doing with these people that have evil intentions because they have envy and all, you know, all the religious
traditions and they want people to follow them, but God does it in spite of them, right?
Yeah. That reminds me of the 23rd Psalm. It says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies."
Yeah.
The peace in the battle. Or in the oppression.
It's good for us because today we're really,
I just know inside my heart that there's a Pharisee just waiting to come out whenever I'm left to my own devices. And I think that this is a strong warning, because this is a story 2,000 years ago that's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And he wants to speak to us today, because technically the Christians today are the ones that could become the Pharisees. That they're so stuck in their religious activities that they won't give Jesus the time and authority to live his life through them and to have that authority. So there's a check in here for us to say, is this his authority? Am I living? Because when he comes into and starts talking to them about the vineyard, it's the land that's been prepared for them, given to them, what are they supposed to do? It's all there.
No, it's not.
Tend it. Adam blew it. The Pharisees blew it. The Jewish people in and of themselves trying on their own. Not individuals, because they were men after his own heart. You see, nothing can ever be, it's always individual with Jesus. It's always individual for each of us to respond to the gospel. Or am I going to hold on to my heritage? Am I going to hold on to an old confession? Or am I going to allow him to grow me into up into all things in him, in Christ? And to yield and surrender and say, it's not my life, it's yours to live. And now I no longer live, but the power I live by is Christ living in me. Right? That's our goal. But see, the vineyard that's been prepared back then, this is the vineyard now. And this is what God's given me authority on, that I can surrender and yield to him so that he can have the fullness of his body. I believe that this is the only thing God's given me steward of, myself. And the way I live, the way I surrender, and the way I yield depends on the authority that I think he has and the authority that I've been given to walk it out. Resting and trusting on him completely, that it's him who works in me to will and to do it for his good pleasure. But I have to yield. I need to surrender. I need to say, not my will, but yours be done. I know you want to touch the world. You've touched me. So here's the only thing I have. This is the only thing you've given me authority on. And will I surrender? Will I just tend to it and love you and thank you for this possession? Because when you come, am I willing to give? Or am I going to be holding on saying, not so, I want to be ruler of this body? I think when it all boils down to, it comes back to, just like the letters to the churches, I don't want you to be lukewarm. I want you to be on fire.
Well, I remember I said, it's kind of in regard to the way the Lord is toward the Pharisees, because he has the harshest words to them. And even when his disciples were really lost, didn't have a clue, he was always so gentle with them. So he just worked with us in a different way than the...
But how is that being harsh by asking a question?
No.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of times when Jesus responded...
They're insincere questions because they want to kill him. These guys, they don't really want the answer. They want to say, he blasphemed, he said he's God, whatever.
I'm always trying to find a reason, and I'll use the law to get out of something I know the Lord's laying on my heart just to trust him. And I just know it. I know Jesus didn't talk to them any different than he did his children and his disciples, because it was all done in love and it was all meant for redemption.
Except for when he called them a brood of vipers.
No, that was true.
Yeah.
That's called love.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So I can call you, but
I think we all have the potential to be a Pharisee in our heart.
Right.
And I think that's why the Bible gives so much speaks to the interaction with Jesus with the Pharisees. Because it's for all scriptures given for our learning.
Right.
Like, so that we can see it and, like.
The whole, basically, all the epistles and letters afterwards are all about growing in grace. Don't be a Pharisee. Don't try to get back to the old way.
But Jesus did have the harshest words for the Pharisees.
Yeah.
And like when we exhibit a Pharisee heart before him, he'll come across sometimes harsh to us. To wake us
when
up.
When we don't want to surrender to his authority, it's going to seem harsh.
It's basically like I really do believe that we all have the potential to have a Pharisee heart. From time, the old man
is a Pharisee.
Desperately wicked above all things.
Yes.
And it's religion.
Right.
And it's like departing from the relationship.
Right. And that's really, Jesus' authority came from his relationship with the Father, and he walked out everything, yielded to the Father, and the Father did that work. It's the same today. The authority we have is the same authority Jesus had. I can always surrender and rest and trust in the Father. And the Father's going to do the work. That's how it works. It's how it worked from the beginning. It's how it worked through Christ. It's how it's going to work today. And we just need to surrender, saying, I can't, you can, you made me to. I'm going to trust you to get me through. I don't know, but I need to understand that he has the authority to do these things. And when he has that authority and he speaks to you, then that authority is something you need to walk in. And those are the times when you start asking yourself, was that you, Lord, or is this me? Right? The thing that you just placed in my heart, is that coming from you so that I can walk in your authority, or am I walking in my flesh? That's the battle every day, isn't it? Am I walking, resting, trusting Jesus Christ for everything in my life? Or am I walking in the flesh trying to figure it out or do it on my own? At least that is for me. Finally, we're going to talk about the other things later, but I love verse 18, and we'll end it with this. And that is, whoever falls on the stain will be broken. But whoever it falls on will be ground to powder. So we have multiple items where we see the stone as Christ. And so if you want to study, so when we look through the vineyard and talk about this a little bit, there's a lot of cool stuff about a stone. We have one, the rock that followed around that gave him water every day in the wilderness. Daniel has a rock spoken of. So if you want to look at that a little bit and consider why it would be better to fall on that rock, then that rock fall on you, it'd be a good study when you're in. And then we'll talk about it a little bit next time. And anything else? Any thoughts? Questions? Subtractions? Thank you. Nobody can do the full counsel, so it's going to be a perspective. So I understand when you say, I don't think we're Pharisees, I'd say I'm not a Pharisee, but I have a potential at any moment, at any time, to yield to the law and not walk by and trust in God and His grace. And then that in itself, I become the law, back to this Pharisaical. So I don't want to be that. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to fall under my old taskmaster. That's me. It's His kindness that leads to repentance. And sometimes getting the thing in your face is kindness. We live in a world that no one wants to deal with the self-check, self-responsibility, self-reality, and the whole gospel is about a personal relationship and the self-accountability of His, because we're relying on His faithfulness and His work that He's done and accomplished, and trust in Him to continue that work. So I think the checks are there for a reason. It tells us to consider yourself whether you're really in the faith or not. There's many checks in there, so it's good to do that, and it might be just where I'm at right now. But I think the Lord wants us to come to a place where we yield to his authority. I do know that. Because I don't want to be a Pharisee. Anytime I don't yield and I question and confront, I believe I'm being a Pharisee. I have that potential. Doesn't mean I'm not saved, but I have that flesh still working out that I'm trying to yield and surrender to the Lord. So, I hope I'm not too confusing today. If anything, just remember Jesus is Lord and rest in Him. And let Him lead and guide you and trust His authority. Not your own. Alright, yes.
I'll just share a little. I'm not going to read my whole devotion from this morning, but it was in Romans 14, the law of liberty, and I'll just read the first verse. Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things, mm-hmm. And then you guys can read on. But again, just that good reminder of how we can be judged in our heart, and it goes on to talk about when one sees one day over another, and then and, you know, just different things. How sometimes we can have that more righteous thing rise up within us as if we are doing better because we don't do A, B, and C. And so, that's all I'll add to that. That's it for check.
Good. Thank you. All right, well, let's pray. Father, I'm just going to trust, Lord, that you had completed what you wanted here today. Lord, if you just continue to work in us, Lord, to bring light into your word. And just, Lord, we don't want to be legalists. We don't want to be walking in judgment, Lord. We want to be people who are resting in your completed work, knowing that it's by grace. We're saved through faith, not of works. So we thank you, Jesus, that it's your work, and you continue to work, and you will complete the work until you return. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.